Welcome back to the Pain of Fools podcast. I am the Pain of Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome to 2022. How are you? I am looking forward to having a greater year this year. Now, for me, although the new year doesn't technically start until spring, it always has been that way for me. It only just makes sense why start a new year while the earth is still dead when you can, you know, when you see new life springing forth from the ground and you hear the birds singing again and all that stuff. It just always, for me, it always made sense to start the new year when spring begins. Just a nature thing, you know, but I am so excited for 2022 and I'm looking forward to just the changes and the connections and all that good stuff. I'm waiting. So I want to talk about Swan Song, and it is a movie starring Mahershala Ali and Naomi Harris and Glenn Close. Streaming on Apple TV Plus, one of my favorite streaming platforms. They have such excellent, excellent color grading, and the quality of their movies and their television shows are just pretty dope. And I had an option of just watching something, and I was in between watching The Morning Show or the show with her name, Octavia Spencer. I'm forgetting the name of the show, but I was about to start season two. Truth be told, I was going to start season two of it. And I'm like, you know what? Let me give this movie a watch because I love Mahershala Ali's face. He has an excellent face in acting and I think it would be good. So I popped it in and the movie was just about 2 hours. And I want to talk about it because I think it is important. One, two, it brought me down to different places and I explored different areas. And I think if you watch it, I think you may do the same. The movie's about Mahershala Ali's character. His name is Cameron. Cameron is faced with a terminal illness and he is a father. He's a husband. And he is at this crossroads of, do I live my natural life and leave my family sooner? Do I have a premature death through this terminal illness, or I have the option of cloning myself? Now he's a well-paid artist, graphic designer. He does a lot of different work and he works with his hands. He draws excellent. And we are introduced to him meeting Naomi for the first time in this bus. First of all, before I get into this, oh my goodness, the technology, how it was displayed in the movie just took me away. I loved everything from the heads up display to the textures all across the displays and the user interfaces of all of that. I loved it. You know, it was just having that. There were so many juxtapositions in the movie with the natural and artificial. It was done well to where it almost complemented each other. It was nice, you know, but they meet each other in the bus and he ends up eating her candy bar by mistake. And it ends up with them flirting with one another. They meet each other and I said one another. They end up meeting one another and they establish a relationship and they get married and they have a child and all that good stuff. But we do open. I meant to say we actually open with Mahershala or Cameron passing out, having a seizure and closing the door in the bathroom while his wife was asleep. Her name is Poppy. And it just goes on from there. So he's in this facility and he's keeping all this a secret. And the first thing that I thought to myself when this happened was, this is giving me the imagery of the father who is a sole provider, who is dealing with having, he's like Atlas, having the world on his shoulders. And he's wanting to have his family in this safety and in this garden to roam free and live carefree. But the accountability and responsibility is so heavy on him that he's unwilling to allow himself to die prematurely and leave his family alone. We also learn in the movie that his wife Poppy had a twin brother and he died in a motorcycle accident. And there was a point in their marriage where they were just, she was just depressed. She was severely depressed. And they were struggling a little bit, but the love was so strong even there. And it was a beautiful depiction of their love together and how strong it was, even when she was grieving the loss of her twin. You know, I can't imagine losing a twin. You know, I've heard the importance of twins and how that there is a, such a deep, strong connection with twins, and to lose one, I don't know. But he goes to this facility and he's torn between, do I make this clone of myself? Do I and die without their knowledge and have this clone live on? So this clone would have everything. It would be an exact duplicate of Cameron. And he would live out his natural life. Everything would just be normal. And then Cameron would pass away in the facility off in these beautiful woods, in this beautiful forest somewhere. And he's in between. He's teetering and tottering. And then he eventually decides to do it. So he does it. And he's actually seeing this clone version of himself. It was already made. It's just that he didn't fully transfer his consciousness over to it yet. And he's looking at it, and it is exactly him. So he decides to finally do it. After he's had one too many seizures, he's like, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. And Glenn Close is the doctor who facilitated the whole thing. And he's there, and he gets the consciousness transferred over to his twin or his clone. And I mean, we're talking consciousness, subconscious, and unconscious, all three layers, everything, personality, all of that is being transferred. Deep memories of childhood, where everything was being transferred over. And then he wakes up. And this time I'm watching, this whole time I'm watching, I see that there's a superficial layer to it of just the level of love that one would have to do something like that, to essentially transfer themselves over or copy themselves to have them live their life for them, take their family from them almost, or give their family away to that person or that clone, and then die alone, watching from a distance. And I'll get into the watching from a distance thing. So the clone wakes up and takes this sharp breath. It was almost as if the breath was forced into it. And it wakes up and they're looking at each other. They're talking and they have this dialogue. And the clone's name in the facility is Jack. But once he leaves, he will be known as Cameron, obviously. But so Jack and Cameron are sitting there across from each other. And the first thing Jack is saying to Cameron is, are you okay? Are you all right? I know this is strange. For him to have been a clone, the movie just starts us with having this awareness of this clone's compassion and humanity and empathy for Cameron, the main character, who is literally in the middle of himself dying. And he's in this process of having his life fall away and given away. And you have this clone just having so much care and concern and empathy. It was like, okay, you know. Now, in the facility, Cameron was wearing black and the clone, Jack, was wearing gray. And I thought that was an interesting play of colors. There was a scene where the doctor, played by Glenn Close's character, was speaking to them both in this therapeutic session. And Cameron was sitting there quiet, listening to Jack speak as she was, just to test the experiment to make sure everything was all right. She was going down into his memory and asking him questions. And he was saying things that Cameron held within himself. She asked him something along the lines of like, did you feel like your wife abandoned you when her brother died, basically, something like that. And he said, yeah. And that made Cameron like a bit uncomfortable. And this whole time they're in this room side by side, like the camera, the screen had them, the positioning of the camera was like, we had Cameron on the left, Jack on the right. But each time the camera fixed to them face on, there was a different color behind them. And it was a contrast to the shirt they were wearing. So, of course, you have Cameron, who's wearing black, but behind him was white, a bunch of white light. And then when the camera switched over to Jack, who's wearing gray, it was dark. It was black. And it was just this interesting duality thing that was happening, and this constant play on and this constant contrast of the real and artificial and the gray area, because again, his shirt was gray. It's like you were blending this gray area of like, what is this? Is this really real or is this not? Like, you know, and eventually they get into this argument, they get into this fight and they start pushing each other. And then Cameron is like, you're not real. You're not coming back home. I'm done with this assignment, like cancel this. And then Jack is like, you're just afraid it's going to work. And they get into a fight, and then Jack still is, he's full of compassion for Cameron, as upset as Cameron is, as he's facing his mortality. Jack is like, I still care for him. There's also there were other clones that were successfully made. One of the characters was played by Awkwafina. She had a clone. She was dying as well, so she had a clone made. And what happened was, in the facility, Glenn Close is the doctor. She's like, she was telling Cameron, we do have other successful clones. And if you'd like to meet one, just to see, here, go to this realtor's office. This is the clone. Go meet her, etc. So he went to meet the clone, and he's just that he has this look on his face of just, he's like mortified. And he's confused, and he's talking to this clone, and she is just as regular. She has the same relationship that she has with her daughter that she had previously as the real version of herself. And he was just like, okay, in his mind, like, I think I can live with this. I'm not 100% certain. And so Awkwafina, her character, I forget her name. That's why I'm calling her by her artist name. She, you know, is back in the facility, just living out her natural life, eventually dies. And you never know. She gets cremated, and, you know, that's all she wrote from there. But there was so much that took place. And it had you on the edge of your seat, because we're watching, and then we're facing the part where right before Cameron is going to have his last visit to his family before he gets, you know, before he gets traded off, he has a seizure in the driveway, and in the window of his home is his wife and his son. And they have no blinds, they have no curtains, no nothing. And if he were to have this, and it was a violent seizure this time, and if he were to have died and she would have seen him and caught him in the driveway having that seizure and having died, this would have completely thrown the project and thrown the agreement off, because he was going to go there. How it went was, Cameron told Poppy that he was on a business trip and he would be back within a certain number of days, and he was coming back that day. However, because of that seizure, he had to immediately leave the driveway, go back to the facility, and then send Poppy a message stating that he fell and hit his head in the shower and he would just be a day late. He had a concussion, he would be a day late. But that was a moment of like of panic, like, yo, this is this tense moment happening where is he going to die? And if he died, what would have happened in this movie? Where could it have gone? Because we were still making sure that Jack was ready to be integrated into Cameron's life. And now there was this interesting thing where they had Jack and Cameron had contact lenses in their eyes that provided visual feedback to the facility. So they had cameras in their contact lenses, and they would use that for each other to watch each other's life through each other's eyes. So Cameron had the contact lenses in back before he had that seizure. And when he had the seizure and he passed out, the cameras went off. So we all, the viewers, thought that he died, and they came back on and he took his breath and then he came back. And then it was now Jack's time to play as the real life Cameron. And now we're in this moment of tension where we have Cameron, who wasn't ready for Jack to live as him yet. It happened a little earlier than anticipated. So now we have Jack wearing the contact lenses that provided the camera feedback and visual feedback and audio feedback to his new life. And it was starting to make Cameron jealous, and he's getting upset. So he ends up finding his smartwatch inside of the facility, and the smartwatch gave him access to things, and he gave him access to the boat that drove him from the city or the suburbs where he lived to the facility. So he found the smartwatch, leaves the island, the forest island of the facility, and then sneaks back into his home while the clone is at the house. And this is because Cameron was having dreams and he was having such strong fears of the clone messing up and causing problems in the home and malfunctioning and destroying his family. And he's just like, and then he's still struggling with his life. I don't know if I want to do this. I'm not ready. So then he goes back and he sneaks in his house. So both people, we have Jack and Cameron in that house at the same time while the wife was asleep and the son was asleep. So Cameron goes, the first thing Cameron does when he walks in the house is he goes to his art studio and he's sitting there looking at the messages that was sent from Cameron playing as him, and everything was copacetic, everything was right. And then Jack heard Cameron and came in the room with him. And I thought at this point, and I'm sure many of the viewers thought at this point, that there was going to be a fight or something was about to go down. But Jack just sat there with all this compassion. And he's just like, do what you have to do. And then Cameron goes and he wakes his son up and he has apple juice with his son in the middle of the night. And he's telling a story to his son. And this is just a strong emotional moment because at this point, he's preparing to leave his son forever. So he gives his son a hug and he's just talking about memories he's had in his past and all of that. And then he goes to his wife's room and he lays next to his wife and he hugs her and he's crying and all that stuff. And he's having his farewell without having his farewell. And then he trades off with Jack at the end and goes back to the island, and Jack lives as Cameron. And we don't see Cameron die at the end. We don't see any of that, but we have this life that is now being lived. So some time passes, and then Jack cuts on his contact lenses for Cameron to watch. And, you know, they are living happily ever after. Everything is great. And the movie ends. Now, yes, the movie was an emotional roller coaster. Yes, it had us all bawling and all that good stuff. It was just nicely done. When the movie ended, though, after it ended, and after the emotions, they ebbed and the tide went back again, I said, I was deceived. and I said that in many different, as I was in different positions. If I was Cameron, and if I was his wife, and if I was his son, you know, there was so much deception there. And it brought me to question, you know, as well-intended as you may be for your family or for your loved ones, at what point do we have this running from the truth? When do we not feel like our character is right? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, this clone doesn't have a soul. This clone doesn't have it. You can't not. A clone doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have a spirit. Where did you go wrong? All the other thoughts were beginning to surface as I'm watching this, and I'm getting upset, which is a good thing because the dialogue is coming and I'm like, whoa, this movie really had me invested and involved in. Then the questions became stronger. And then I'm thinking, well, what if he died by another natural cause in his life? What if he got hit or there was an accident, or what if Poppy died or the son died? How would this repaint that picture? It became less of a movie after that. The credits rolled and I was just like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? At what point are we going to acknowledge that we were toying with nature? And when do we recognize its detriments? Were we thinking long term? Are there any unpleasant or painful consequences that could come from this? You know what I mean? But it was an excellent movie. It was excellent. You know, Mahershala and Naomi did their thing, and the various juxtapositions of natural and artificial was just this constant back and forth of this play on light and dark and this play on real and fake, just with Cameron being an artist drawing with his hands. But we have this technology, this highly technological world. And then you have, of course, the clones, that juxtaposition, that real versus the artificial. And then you have Poppy having a twin brother, having to lose her other half, then to have her husband and then lose him unknowingly now with to a clone that would fill his shoes and play the role, have everything identical except for a little beauty mark on his hand that would make him completely different from Cameron. But it was a lot of just this like interesting whisper of artificial and natural, even down to the facility being in this beautiful forest. We have this cloning facility with trees as high as the highest mountain you can imagine, you know? And you're just stuck between, do I carry empathy? Is this empathy that I have in this movie? What is this? When you see that what's being created is unnatural, even though it is in Cameron's best interest to protect his family from grief and loss, how far is one willing to go to avoid the pain of death and avoid the pain of grief? Do you know what I mean? Do we make executive decisions like that? And again, it was one other thing that further reinforced the imagery of the man being the sole provider and having such a heavy load and heavy responsibility, even down to protecting his family from grief and loss by making such a decision that would replace him with a copy of himself that had no soul or spirit. I think you should watch the movie. It's on Apple TV Plus. It just dropped in like December 18th or 17th. Mahershala is a gorgeous man. Naomi's a gorgeous woman. It was beautiful. And let me know what you think about it. You know, please feel free. I dropped a video about this movie. I wasn't as in depth as I am here, but I dropped a movie review on YouTube about it. And you can comment there, like it, share it, and all that good stuff. And just let me know, because this was a conversation. I think it was closer to me just with the conversation of grief. Not only that, but then, of course, my love for just everything technological. And then the fact that he was an artist, too, just also helped. But the movie was just done well. I give it an 8.5 out of 10. And I think you should watch it, too. But that's all I wanted to say about the movie. Feel free to follow me on IG at The Pain of Fool. You can hit me up on YouTube at The Pain of Fool. I'm on Twitter, Pain of Fool Pod. And you can find my website, thepainoffool.com. But until such time, Lover Muffins, I'm out. Peace.